Welcome to the Amateur Mill Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Sinead and Rosie, and we are just trying. Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average, non-famous mums who live average, non-famous lives. Although if we get famous, we're not complaining. And maybe we'll make a travel documentary about our trip to Ireland that actually is coming up quite soon.
We're going to Ireland.
Will we be in Ireland when this podcast airs?
I think we might be, you know.
Let me check my calendar.
I think actually we might be. I can't tell you how excited I am.
Yes, we will be.
So when you're listening to this in your ears...
Oh, no, sorry, actually, we won't.
No?
No, so we'll have one go out... Yeah, no.
The week before?
The week before.
So we'll be even more excited than we are right now.
Yes.
Yes, we're going to Ireland as a big group. So you, your daughter...
Say your daughter like I don't know her.
You and your daughter.
Your daughter.
You and your daughter, me and my daughters, and my other half. We're all going to Ireland. We're going to have a great time.
We are going to have a great time.
But I do think... We have mentioned this a few times, and this is so funny that we kind of... We both kind of exuded it without kind of consulting each other, is that both of us immediately assumed to ourselves, we're going to Ireland together. Content.
Yeah.
Content. Content machines. We're going to be on holiday. We're going to make something of it. Everyone's going to hear everything about it. We're going to film it. We're going to record it. You're considering buying lapel mics. So we are going to try and document it in such a way that makes us kind of on par with Simon Reeve. Hopefully. I'm hoping my experience in Ireland will be very similar to him in the rainforest.
This is what's going to secure us a deal with the BBC.
I think so.
They're going to be like, you know what? You know, a gap in the market is two women.
Yes.
With a travel show.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's not even a joke. That's true.
That is actually true.
What women do actual travel programmes?
I don't know. Oh, her that sings the songs on the cruises. Jay McDonald.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I mean, come on, Sinead. What we're talking about is a travel documentary that's aimed at people under the age of 80. Okay? So I think we can discount Jay McDonald. No offence, Jane. You are a star and you are a national treasure. But we're talking a different target market, aren't we?
Yeah, a different target market.
Two silly girls making fools of themselves in other countries.
Yeah. I mean, I actually wrote out an itinerary with hyperlinks.
It's so good, though. It's so good. I was just like, this is banging. I even said to Sinead, I've not actually done it yet, but I did say to Sinead, you sent me the itinerary and you were like, let me know if you want me to edit it, if you want me to change anything. And I was like, I've already got the laminator out. This is absolutely ready to be no drafting necessary. This can be printed and laminated. Bang. Done.
You know one thing I was actually going to suggest to you?
Oh God, what? Folder?
Bifolder? No, I was going to be like, you could make it into like a small little book for the kids.
A little zine, like an itinerary zine.
Yeah.
Oh mate, if I have time I will do that. I could make them a little activity pack with stuff that they can do.
Yeah, and like the thing is I could like write out a couple of the stories and they could go in for them to read and stuff.
Okay, right, well, if I... if I, in the next 3 days, feel less like I have long COVID, then I will do that. Because that would be amazing. I think they'd really like stuff they can colour in and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really lovely idea. Also, content.
It's content.
I could make a reel of me making the zine. Oh, I'm such a dickhead. Yeah, we're going to Ireland.
I'm so excited to show Rosie, like
everything.
My homeland.
Yeah.
Introduce her to my people.
Your soul. I love it. I can't wait.
Because I've always said, like, my family in Ireland, whenever we go over, they always say, how long are you home for?
Oh, that's so sweet. That's lovely. I really like that.
And like, I really have, I feel like because I spent so much of my formative years there. Mm. Like, I think your summer holidays are a time that you do a lot of growing.
Yeah. Yeah, like independent growing. Yeah, you're right.
And I did so all right. of that there.
Yeah.
So the second that my feet are on Irish soil,
yeah,
I have this, like, sense yeah. of calm. Like, I really do feel at home there.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm hoping to have a really magical experience. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot of books about, like, old magic.
Yeah.
So, like, paganism and, you know, ancient
In that magic. Case, there are a few episodes of a podcast that you need to listen to.
Okay.
Before our trip.
Oh, okay.
You need to listen to at least 3 episodes. Mm. Of the Blind Boy podcast. I've sent you links to it before. Oh,
yeah, because there's one with Grayson Perry, isn't there, which I've still not listened to. Yeah, okay.
He talks a lot about, he does episodes about all sorts of stuff. It's a very, like, meandering...
He does a lot of arty people, doesn't he? Let's speak to a lot of artists.
Like, he's a musician and an artist and a writer, and in my opinion, a fucking genius.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard him on other podcasts. So I know, I've heard him on the Adam Buxton podcast, and he was really interesting, and I really liked the way he speaks about art and art history, really into it. So I can definitely get on board with that. So that's about, you know, we're just banging on very selfishly about our holiday in Ireland, but there's one podcast recommendation to you, the people, and then my podcast recommendation would be the one that is literally called Witch, which is on BBC Sounds, and it's just like a total pop. It's the same lady who did 28 Days-ish, which is the one about periods.
Ah.
Very, very interesting. So there you go, guys. We're not just, you know, we're not just talking about ourselves being very successful travel documentarians and philanthropists.
Philanthropists.
But I'm trying to sound smart.
Over the weekend, I was trying to come up with, like, the most outlandish lies I could tell you mm. about Ireland, and you still believe them to be true.
Yeah, okay.
So I was going to tell you that... in certain places, they only spoke Irish, so they might not be able to understand you when you were speaking to them.
Oh! And would you, if you'd have gone with that lie, would you have then told me at certain places and go, now this is one of those places?
Yeah, and it would be like the supermarket.
Oh, right. Okay. And I'd just be like, oh, is this, okay, right.
I was going to be like, okay. Well, you have to speak really slowly and really clearly.
Oh, that is unkind, Sinead, and I'm glad you've told me, because you know what I'm like. I'm a yapper. I'm really big on small talk with strangers. This, if you'd have done that, that would have been, like, honestly the best thing for Dave, because he would have just found that so funny, because that, for him, that would have been, so this reminds me of on Dave's birthday, he took the day off and we went into town and we went to St. Martin's for some lovely food. Anyway, we had to pop in a newsagent's. And we went in there, and the guy behind the counter was lovely. Like, he was a really lovely guy, but he was complaining about all the, like, drunks and the people, like, on drugs in town, because it was right in the centre of town. And we were like, yeah. And he was a Sikh guy. And when he put his card machine out to Dave, he went, shoot, like that. Or he said, like, attack, or something like that. No, that's it. He said, attack. He went, attack. And it was like a joke. Like, he went, attack. Like, attack the car machine. And I went, surely it's the other way around, because you're taking our money, like me trying to make a joke out of it. And then he just launched into this whole thing about when he was in the war against Bangladesh or something, like this big war, and how, like, he was like a sword master, and his, like, captain, like, told them when to attack and all this, and started telling us this big story. And I was like, whoa, okay. And I was, like, trying to do small talk, and Dave was like, bye, and he was sort of dragging me out the shop. And we got out of the shop and he just looked at me and he went, Rosie, that's why I don't do small talk. And I was like, touche, David, touche.
I tell you where they love small talk though, Rosie.
I'm fucked, aren't I?
Ireland.
I'm completely fucked.
They love it.
And that is why you didn't do that horrible lie to me about not being able to understand me, because you know already that I am, like, I'm already fucked.
Yeah, you've got a big yappetite.
It's going to be, the whole entire week is going to be you and Dave trying to stick to the itinerary whilst you're stood outside something waiting for me to stop talking to the local person. Rosie, we're actually on a time limit. We've got to go get ice cream now. And I'm just sat with Mrs. Doyle drinking tea, listening to her life story. And then I come out and it's like an hour later, you're all dishevelled and knackered. And you're like, can we go now? I'm like, oh, but she was lovely.
She was lovely.
She was so lovely.
Rosie, you know full well that I would be there drinking tea with you.
It's just going to be Dave looking after the kids for a week, isn't it? While we talk to locals.
Or Dave.
And the whole time we're making a documentary. Yeah. That's how we're justifying it.
I'd be like, do people actually listen to that?
Yeah. For those who didn't get that, that was a reference to a fantastic Netflix series called Bodkin, which is about a podcast being made in Ireland. And every single local person says, do people actually listen to it? Great. Love it.
Love. But anyway.
Anyhow.
So I've been thinking about different things that I need to introduce Rosie to.
Mm-hmm.
On the trip or prior to the trip.
In preparation.
One of the main things is Tato crisps, which in my opinion are the best crisps in the world.
And I am a massive crisp connoisseur and I've never tried Tato crisps.
I actually bought Rosie a multi-pack of Tato crisps. Do you want to have a taste on air, Rosie?
I'm so excited. So let me get them. Must have been absolutely awful for the listeners of that. So we've got a multi-bag, haven't we?
We do.
So we've got the salt and vinegar, cheese and onion, and smoky bacon. Now, can you tell them, the dear listeners, about the cheese and onion?
So, for quite a long time, cheese and onion were, so in England, our like default crisp flavour is ready salted, right?
Obviously. Yeah.
For quite a long time in Ireland, the default crisp flavour was Tato, cheese and onion. If you went into a pub and asked for a bag of crisps,
that's what you
this
get.
Is what you would
they
be
are
handed.
A plain cheese and onion is a plain crisp.
So this is, yeah, see if you hit look here, that is cheese and onion flavoured potato crisps.
Oh my god, it says it in Irish.
In Irish.
That's amazing.
And then do they have the ingredients in Irish? No, they don't.
They've also got cheesetties. Cheesetties. Have you tried cheesetties?
No, I've never haven't. Tried cheesetties. No. They're like potato. What's it?
So imagine. We're going to start with the cheese and onion.
Yeah.
Because they're the original Irish crisp. Can you also tell them about the theme park?
Oh, they used to have a theme park called Tato Park. Where the person that... It was themed around Tato crisps.
About Tato crisps. I love Ireland and I've not even been yet. Right, I'm going to try one. Oh, that's like a standard Walker's cheese and onion, but better, isn't it?
Mm. I really like the texture of their crisps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're so nice.
They're like a lighter texture.
Yeah. And I like that. Walker's. Like, I can't get on with like a kettle chip because they're too greasy. They're too thick and I'm just about like the flavour and then nice like crispiness. They're great. Uh-huh. You can get these in shops in England, can't you?
Some, usually in Asda.
Come on, Asda. Oh yeah, they're great. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, what's next?
Shall we do salt and vinegar next?
Yeah, go on then.
Now, these are my favourite salt and vinegar crisps.
Salt and vinegar, I would say, are my favourite flavour. Mm,
they're my go-to flavour.
Mm. Okay, let's get a big one. Oh my God, it's like... The second that hit my tongue, I was transformed into like being in a pub when I was a kid.
Mm.
That's what it is. It's a pub crisp.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Sure.
And yeah. Sometimes you get a really, really, like, look how thin that crisp is.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely give Walkers a run for their money, don't they?
I think these are way better than a Walkers.
Mmm. Mmm. But we can agree that they are, like, adjacent to a Walker. That's the sort of crisp we're talking.
Yeah.
I think the flavour's slightly better.
On a textural level, though, I think they are superior to Walkers.
Mm, actually. Salt vinegar is better than a... That's better than a salt vinegar Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is saying something. Okay.
And right. Now we've got smoky bacon, which I don't know if I've ever actually had smoky bacon potato.
And it might be the last, because they are phasing out the smoky bacon flavour, because apparently it's really bad for you. Just in case you didn't know, guys. All very orange in colour. Good. That's good. Yeah, very bacony. Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're nice. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Oh, they're lovely.
I'd say they have the same flavouring as a frazzle.
Same flavouring, but the nice crisp texture.
Mm.
I hope that this podcast is making everyone really hungry. Because I honestly, I love eating crisps. Yeah, very nice. So,
which ones would you say that are your favourite out of the three?
Salt and vinegar, definitely fave. Cheese and onion middle, smoked bacon bottom.
Mm.
For me. I could sit and eat those all day, but unfortunately we've got to speak to our people.
We've got to speak to our people.
So nice. I'm going to have one more salt and vinegar one, and then we'll start talking about other stuff. Do you have a week in a sentence, Sinead?
I do.
Okay. And... swallow the last bit of crisp. Continue talking.
And it is. Also on the theme of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Flying from Knock Airport is a cultural experience.
So Knock Airport is close to where your family live.
Yeah, kind of. Knock Airport is about an hour and a half away. But it just happened that the flight was better from there this time.
But the difference between Knock Airport and Dublin Airport is that Dublin Airport isn't a proper airport.
Yeah, Knock Airport is basically a service station with a runway.
With a small runway.
But it has a great, like, it's one of those very Irish things that has a great, like, whimsical backstory.
Yes, oh yeah, 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 go on then, tell the story.
So a priest... decided one day...
Always starts with a priest.
So there was an apparition of the Virgin Mary, I think. And then a priest called Monsignor Horan decided one day that people were going to want to come to Knock for pilgrimages to see where this apparition had happened.
Of course.
A bit like Lourdes. So he said, we need an airport. And so he built an airport.
Well, if you want something doing, do it yourself.
Yeah.
Build yourself an airport.
He then named the road up to the airport Monsignor Horan Road.
Fair enough, he built it.
Built a large statue of himself welcoming travellers to the country.
I have never seen a statue that is more likely to be in Russia than it is than it is in Ireland, and yet it is in Ireland. It's so Eastern Bloc, isn't it?
It's Eastern Bloc.
Very, very Eastern Bloc. It's got very, very like kind of Russian vibes about it, or even kind of North Korean vibes, mm-hmm. actually, which says a lot about the man, the legend.
Like, Knock Airport is a service station with a runway. It is so small. You can cross the entire thing. You can do duty free in about 10 steps.
You sent a video of it to me, and what I really loved is you kind of did a 360 view. So you were sat and you could see like the cafe, the pub, the shop. And then when you went full circle, it's like you might as well have been nose to nose with the security bit where you walk through, the beepy bit. It was just like things you can buy, drink, snack, and then... loads of those tapey things that get people in queues. Loads of those, all really close to each other. It was really funny. Yeah. Tiny airport.
It is ridiculous. And the first time I ever flew into it, I was given a whistle-stop tour of Knock. And, like, there is not a lot to see in Knock. One thing there is to see is a church called Knock Basilica. And directly opposite Knock Basilica was a B&B called, I shit you not, St. Teresa's House of Redemption.
The more I think about it, the more I think it needs to be like a drag club.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes.
That would be great. I think we're not going to have time on our very busy schedule when we're there, so maybe we will put that in for the next time we go, but I feel like we should stay there because I think it could make some good content. Don't you reckon?
Sinead and Rosie in St. Teresa's House of Redemption.
I think it could. We could turn it into like a Blair Witch Project style film, if anything.
And I bet the landlady of the Airbnb, of the Airbnb, is like...
It's not an Airbnb, we keep calling it an Airbnb.
Because we're millennials.
It's just a bed and breakfast.
I bet she's like...
It's not got the internet!
I bet she's very, very scary as well. Yeah. And like...
Tells you what you're having for breakfast.
And she's just like, it'll be a fry.
I feel like if I go with enough confidence, like if I've had enough sleep on the plane over... And I'm feeling confident enough, I'll tell her I'm a vegan and see what she says.
She'll be like, no vegans here.
Okay, I'll do chicken then. I'll be one of those. Yeah. Oh, can't wait. Amazing. Right, what's my weakness sentence? My weakness sentence is, when does a child's fear of spiders become a job for a psychiatrist? Because we're in a situation now, Sinead, I'm not kidding you, where she won't go to the bathroom on her own.
Which one?
Ramona.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember which bathroom. I was like, I am not rich. I've one bathroom. Yeah, she won't go to the toilet on her own. We won't go with her because we're like, come on now. Dave is like, our bathroom's really old. It's the only room in the house that wasn't sort of done up before we moved in. So it's like properly 90s. So it's like, it's one of those where you can't ever make it look clean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And even if it is clean, there's still like nooks and crannies and the corners are still grubby. You can't make it look shiny and neat. And it's very, very obvious why she thinks there are spiders in there. You know, like there are bits that look like cobwebs that you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
And so she won't go to the bathroom on her own. So she makes Lola go with her now because we're like, you have to be.
She's bullied her sister.
Like, you've got to be brave, Ramona. Dave like scrubbed the bathroom head to toe, like properly. He had like, you know those things you used to get a cake out of, like a cake slice out? Using one of those to like all
like
the corners.
Scrub the ground.
All of that. And we were like, you've got to be brave. You've got to get used to it. There's no spiders. If anything lands on her in the garden, she just screams. Screamed her head off. She came running into me the other day going, get it off. And I was like, that is a piece of grass. she's like properly lost it. The other day she wouldn't go in and out of the kitchen door because there was a spider in the ceiling. Like, it's ridiculous. And we don't know what to do because we can't be mean to her about it. But there's points where we're just like, mate,
you need to
come
deal with it.
On. Like, yeah. This is detrimental to your life.
Yeah.
And we can't, and also it's not one of those where it's like, we can't make it better because we can't, we're like, she freaks out about it and then you can say, it's not a spider. That doesn't make the fear go away because she's already scared of it.
Mm.
So then you try and console her and go, it's not a spider. I've checked everything, there's no spiders there. But she sees them. She sees them where they're not there. If anything touches her, she's like, ah! It's like she's got herself in this like mad cycle of just being fucking terrified of stuff. And I just don't know what to do with her. It's wild.
That's a really tough one, actually.
Really tough. And like Lola's, oh, the other thing as well, Sinead, this is really bad, is she's got to a point now where it's like, I know that she's trying to make Lola scared of them, so it makes her feel better. So they'll be in the garden and she'll be like, Lola, you've got a spider on you. And I'll be like, Ramona. Like, don't even. Because she's doing it to kind of see if Lola's scared.
Not gaslighting Lola.
Yeah.
Scared of
to justify her own fear. And I'm like, you can't do that. It's not fair. Like, Lola's not scared of them. And we're trying to tell her that there's nothing wrong with spiders. And anyway.
And spiders are important for the ecosystem and all
exactly,
the rest of it.
All of that.
Like, Darcy doesn't like spiders. I don't think anyone particularly likes them. But she's not that bad.
No, it's really bad. It's really, really bad.
She doesn't like Daddy Longlegs or moths, though.
I mean, yeah, I don't like Daddy Longlegs. Ramona said to me earlier, she was like, Mummy, you've got a spider. She does it to me as well. You've got a spider on your shoulder. I'm like, okay. I just go, oh, have I? In my head, I'm getting a little bitch.
But then, like, how do you fix that?
I know. I don't know.
I don't even know how you would go about fixing that.
No, I don't know. Because you can't, it's what, like, my dad said to her, what you want to do is, like, next time you see a spider, just let it crawl on your hand. And I was like, yeah, good luck with her doing that. Like, the other day, she was kicking up. She wouldn't pick... She threw her bike on the floor. She was like, ah! threw a bike on the floor, ran off. And I was like, what is it? She was like, there's a spider on my bike. There's a spider on my bike. And I was like, where? I can't see it. She was like, look, there is a green one. And I was like, that's a green fly. There's no green spiders.
Oh, it's just...
So you can never take Ramona to Australia.
Oh my God, no way. I mean, I'm fearful of even taking her to a little caravan in the woods, because that's a caravan in the woods.
Probably full of spiders. Well,
it's always full of spiders. That's what the first thing my mum said was like, what are you going to do if you go to the caravan? I was like, I don't know. It's full of spiders. I'm scared of spiders, but I've been really... Like, this is the worst thing, is I have been so good at hiding my fear of spiders since having children. And if we see a spider that I'm too scared to catch... And they're like, oh, spider, spider, spider. And by the way, even the spiders she's scared of are the tiny, tiny, weeny, mini spiders. She kicks off about massively.
See, like, I can't have do no big issue ones. With a money spider. But no if issue. It is bigger than this.
Yeah, like a house spider.
Yeah, no, I don't want anything to do with it.
But I never act scared. I never act freaked out. If I see it, even if it's a massive spider, I'll just be like, if they're kicking off about it, I'm like, it's all right, it's fine, we'll get it. And I'll be like, Daddy, I'll just go and get it for you.
We'll get it, Dave.
Dave. Yeah, and I just go, Daddy, this is a spider, do you mind coming and getting it? And then I'll like go and stay and it's really fucking big, I can't touch it. But they don't see it at all. They don't see my fear. They think that we're both absolutely fine with spiders. I talk really lovingly about spiders. I'm really nice about spiders all the time.
Rosie might be mistaken for working for Big Spider.
Big Spider, yes. I am 100% working for Big Spider. They have been sending me away on lovely corporate trips once a quarter to spas and all sorts. I just don't know what to do. It's fucking wild. Don't know what to do, apart from get her sectioned. It's the only thing I can think of at this point.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I know. I know. And it is, it's one of those things where it's like with the swimming, we had to just say, because she had to learn how to swim, we had to go, you're going swimming lessons, don't care how much you don't like it. And she was kind of forced into it. Not that we pushed her in the pool, but it was like...
Yeah, but you can't you'll push her into a box of spiders.
It's like, what do we do? What? Put her on Celebrity Get Me Out of Here? Off you go. I don't know how to fix it.
Does she freak out, like, looking at spiders on the telly? Like, has she watched that bit in Harry Potter with the spiders?
Yeah, she's seen Harry Potter.
Is she all right with that?
Yeah.
But it's like the physical presence of actual
And she's got herself in such a cycle of it that it's not just it's not even spiders that do it, it's anything, and then she just thinks it's a spider. Everything's got a spider in it now. Everywhere has spiders. I'm not going in there, there's a spider in there. Where's the spider up there? I'm like, that's a piece of fluff. And now I'm like,
and some grass.
I'm low-key like really anxious about my house now, because we're not like super super clean and our house is full of stuff. And our rooms are, like, heavily decorated, you know, like, maximalist. And so now I'm like, what have I just got to go full minute? I've got to paint my whole house white so that she can see that it's not a spider. Because it's really hard to tell, because our rooms are full of stuff and pictures and colours. And it's like, no, I'm not going up the stairs because there's a spider in that corner. I'm, like, going up there, like, I think that's just where I got the paintwork a bit wrong. So she's seeing spiders where there aren't spiders and freaking out.
Maybe you just go around the house and, like, blue tack fake spiders to the wall, so anytime she's like, there's a spider, you could be like, it's fake.
And then I can go and pick it up and go, look, it's a pretend spider.
Yeah.
I might try that, actually. Thank you, Dr. Sinead. I clearly didn't need professional help after all.
Do it when she's in bed, so she wakes up in the morning and the whole fucking spiders house everywhere. Is covered in spiders.
Oh my God. Yeah, we've said this before about like telling, like just reminding ourselves that as long as we're aware that our children will need therapy when they're older, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those things that would definitely lead to just like loads and loads of therapy.
Just order like 2,000 tiny plastic spiders from Temu
all over her bed when she wakes up in the morning. She's bed covered. Also, at the minute, she's got Nightmare Before Christmas cover on, which is basically black. So she wouldn't know until she moved. And it will just start moving around. That's made me scared. That's made me scared. And it's a plot in my head. That's terrifying. Oh my God.
Am I a nasty person for advocating that?
No, well, no, because we're trying to uncover the idea that, is there a scare tactic that scares her out of it? Like you say, like putting fake spiders so she fucking freaks out and then realises. But that's what she's doing at the minute every time. She's like screaming and then me having to be like, that's not a spider.
Like,
but it's just building up, it's kind of reinforcing that fear for her, yeah. Even though all of those things aren't spiders.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, she's gone wrong. She's gone properly wrong. Anyway, shall we talk about our subject of the day?
Which is, if I've actually forgotten what it is.
It's screen time.
Screen time.
Screen time. Cool. We're going to talk about screen time today. I thought it would be a good one because we're just in the summer holidays, so it's something people are going to be thinking a lot about. Now, unfortunately, the bad news is that all of the professional advice is that we shouldn't let our children use screens much at all.
I don't believe in professionals.
That is such a good comeback to anything. Well, professionally speaking, I don't believe in professionals.
Actually, I care not for what they have to say.
I fundamentally believe that professionals don't exist, so whatever.
but that is an actual thing a politician said.
Is it?
One time. Yeah, when I think it was during COVID. He was like, actually, I think the public have just grown to not care about the opinion of professionals. Like, about COVID.
Wow.
So now...
You're just like, I don't believe.
I just don't believe in professionals.
I don't believe in professionals. They simply don't exist. That's brilliant. Well, here's the thing. Look, I'm going to do all the bad news first, which is all the guidelines, the advice, the stuff that they've told us is bad. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to feel really... Like I did when I did this research, and I feel really shit about myself. And then do a bit more research and go, actually, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to do is just give you the breakdown of the who.
The who?
Yeah, it's funny because the forerunners of research in screen time for children are the 1960s band The Who. So if I read these guidelines from Pete Townsend... No, I'm joking. World Health Organization, who are a professional body of people.
The Who.
I wish the World Health Organization called themselves The Who.
This is such a silly episode. Then,
I'd love it if they had like branding as well, like t-shirts. Yeah. Stuff. I really love that. Anyway, so the World Health Organization guidelines, I'm going to give you a breakdown very quickly, and then we're going to go into the kind of the big bulk of research they did.
Yeah.
And then we can also go through...
The research that I simply don't believe in.
You simply don't believe in. And then we're going to look at some other stuff. So, I just want to tell you this. This bit cracks me up. So, the guidelines are for babies, 18 to 20 months old, 2 to 5 years, 6 to 17 years, and then teens to adults. Mm-hmm. Babies...
What zero. Do you...
Zero. Zero screen time babies should have. But what I really like about this research is that it has given a little asterisk to that, which is accept video chats with family members.
Yes, because babies are capable of speaking on FaceTime.
Yeah, there is, if you're on a Zoom chat with your auntie during COVID, fine. But no screen time for babies. But it's like they thought we better put that in case there's mums out there going, oh fuck, no, we can't ring daddy. Because it'd be classed as screen time. And then I might get told off by the health visitor. You know?
Yeah.
I love that. So thank you, The Who, for writing that. 18 to 20 months.
Half an hour a day?
An hour. Up to an hour.
A day?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Up to an hour. 2 to 5 years. 0 to 3 hours. They've had to put naught in to remind people that it isn't...
They don't have to be watching telly for 3 hours a day.
Yeah. It's not, like, a necessity. They have to put in the naught hours to be like, your child can just watch no screens. Yeah. That's fine. And then 0 to 3 hours. And then 6 to 17 is... Well, I put 2 hours here, but I don't see how that makes sense. If it's 0 to 3. Maybe it's 2 to 3 hours. And then teens to adults is 2 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
Which is wild, because the fact that they've put teens to adults, and it's like...
Are you telling me that I should be having 4 hours of screen time a day?
4 hours a day?
I have approximately 15 hours of screen time a day. No. And I mix it between big screen, small screen, and medium-sized screen.
Yeah. If you mean 4 hours a day on each device, fine.
See, I get to go on small screen as a reward for looking at medium screen all day.
And then when you get bored of small screen, you look at big screen.
Well, sometimes I have big screen on and I'm looking at small screen.
And then you're like, why is this big screen so boring?
And then I look up at the thing and I'm like, whatever they're saying on big screen makes no sense. And it doesn't make sense because I haven't been listening.
There is nothing worse, and I do this to myself every single day of my life, is when I'm trying to watch a captioned story, reel, or TikTok whilst listening to the words on a big screen. You're listening to a conversation that's happening, I don't know, for example, what I've been watching, a period drama, and they're having a conversation about...
is a bed with hysteria.
Someone is a bed with hysteria, and I'm trying to watch a TikTok about Harry Styles.
Yeah.
And it's like my brain can't do both of those things. And this, you know...
And it's short circuits, so you don't know what's happening on small screen or on big screen.
No. And then I think...
But you're also not present in the real world.
No. This is great because it means we now don't even need to look at the articles written by The Who, because we've just illustrated why screen time is bad. And why this is even worse for small children whose brains are developing. We've got fully functioning developed brain, Sinead.
Do we?
Do we though? I don't know. Let me ask my small screen. My small screen will tell me.
Hey Siri. Do I have a fully functional brain?
Depends how much screen time you've had today, Sinead. Okay, right, back to the research by The Who. So, I read a couple of articles, and it's based on one massive study that The Who did when they were writing their second album. And I'm so sorry. This is a silly episode.
10 minutes.
Oh, God. Okay. So.
Ow.
That's what you get for eating crisps while I'm talking about The Who. So basically, the World Health Organization did a massive study about screen time in children. Mm-hmm. And when it all came out, it was sort of like, basically, screen time for children is bad. Lots of screen time for children is really, really bad. It's really bad for all of their cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
Completely
destroys their attention span.
Yeah. This is interesting.
It makes them, completely rots their brain.
Yeah.
With every single point, it feels like The Who are actually going like this at me.
With their guitars. It's like, you know that sound that an amp makes before you plug anything in? Yeah, that's what it's doing. But here's the thing, right? So these articles about this... study. Let me see if I can find some quotes that I can read for you. The Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health said the advice could dismay families raising children in cramped housing without outdoor space to play, adding that every child has unique sleep requirements. So one of the things it says, it can affect your sleep or their sleep, they're like waking up too early, no attention span, bad behaviour, not learning at school properly, all of those things. And that what you need to do is make sure that you're having face-to-face interaction with parents or carers, outdoor play. One of the things that really annoyed me about the article is they were trying to link the whole idea of having physical activity outside with too much screen time. Now, that annoyed me because I don't think they have to be conjoined, right? You could be a super active child and still watch a shit ton of TV.
I mean,
you know?
When Darcy watches television, she is not still... for a single moment of it.
I would say currently, because I'm very, very, very close to setting my sofa on fire, because currently, 99% of the time that the TV is on, Ramona is doing a headstand on it and smashing the fuck out of our windowsill. So, the whole physical activity, it's like they're saying, it's really bad, screens are really bad for kids because of their attention span and all that other stuff.
I think they assume that if a kid is watching telly, they are sitting stationary on the sofa watching telly.
No, they are basically, they're having a tennis match with the walls.
Like doing parkour.
Yeah, essentially. So I don't like that correlation. I do agree, though, that it's like, so one of the things I have noticed, and I did watch a video where someone was explaining the idea of a child watching TV, and you think that you get, they get home from school, they're knackered, you put them in front of the TV, it's a nice relaxing thing for them. It's not.
It's more stimulating.
It's more stimulating, it's loads of dopamine hits, it's that's the thing that's creating all this kind of bad behaviour, less attention span, and all those problems that, that this study is saying is happening to kids. Which you understand is the whole idea of them being zombified is totally true. But what they did say is that, like, this is very fast-paced TV with flashing images, quick scenes and stuff. It's, if it's educational, that's different because that is relaxing. It's the same as, like, reading to your child, right? So first of all, we can say that if the programmes they're watching are educational, then maybe don't worry so much. So, like, maybe a mixture of the two is okay. I, like I've said, don't like this correlation between physical activity because, like you said, it doesn't. They don't have to be one of the same thing at all. And the other thing is like that, like it says here about sleep patterns and stuff, is that every child's different. My kids have been sleeping terribly at the minute. They're not watching any less or more TV than usual. It's just like kids have different sleep patterns. The other thing is like they said about like. It's quite scary for families who are living in small houses with no outdoors. Like, what the fuck are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever people speak about cutting down on screen time, it's like a heavily, like, class... It's very heavily involved with, like, class and income because the people that are, like, militantly against screens are the people that can afford to
be... Have an alternative.
Militantly against screens.
Poor
people cannot afford to be constantly keeping their child entertained without a screen.
Yeah. And this is the thing that annoys me the most.
It relies
about
on them having a garden to send the kid out to play in. It relies on them having lots and lots and lots of like different toys for the kids to play.
It relies on you, generally speaking, being in a two-parent household so that one of the parents can be doing the other stuff while the other parent is with the children. Like, it doesn't work otherwise. This is what I don't like about this article, this study, and you can readily available, like, look at this study. It was done in, I think it's 2019? I can't remember when the study was done, but it was, like, a big study they did. Obviously, there was massive, like, influx of screen time during COVID, and that's had a massive effect on people. But this is what I don't like about it. They've given this whole spiel about screen time being bad for kids and their brains. We get it. But at no point is anyone offering like a solution
or an alternative.
It's like, oh, we know that you want, we know that you need to put your kids in front of the TV while you're cooking dinner, but the thing is, it's really bad for their brains and it's making them zombies. And it's giving them really bad attention spans.
And it
not
means
gonna...
that you're a shit parent.
Yeah. Your child's brain isn't developing quickly enough because you're letting them sit in front of the TV. Yeah, but you've just said that we're putting our kids in front of the TV while we're trying to get the cooking done. So what do I do? Do I make sure my kids have dinner or not?
Yeah.
That's the problem with all of these sort of studies that are done. It's like, it's fear-mongering. But it offers absolutely no solution whatsoever at all. Like, it's not giving us any kind of, oh, but don't worry about this. The only piece of kind of positive information that comes from it is like educational TV is fine.
Yeah.
So there are options. It's like you've got your number blocks and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. I don't know about your school, but my school pay my kids number blocks.
Yeah.
So when they get home from school, they don't want to watch number blocks.
I mean, sometimes Darcy has these weird phases where she just watches endless number blocks.
Ramona has that too. Ramona's definitely had like stages. She's like, can I watch number blocks? And I'm like, why?
What?
Why? Okay. Why do you want, why? Yeah, but it's like, if they're making them watch number blocks at school, so they're having their educational TV apparently at school instead of being taught stuff.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? So anyway, that's all I have to say on it. There's the guidelines. Your guidelines are insane. So I thought now, if we can maybe talk about how much screen time we use and what sort of screens we use with our kids.
Yeah.
So let's start with screen time in general. How much do you think Darcy has a day?
It really depends. Like, it's very kind of situational. Like, she often has the telly on. We often have the telly on in the background.
Yes.
Or background noise.
Yeah.
Like, the telly will be on.
Yeah.
And it'll be something that she's chosen. And, like, Darcy isn't necessarily always watching kids' TV either.
No, that's one of the things we do. It's like,
she'll be watching, like, a David Attenborough or...
Yeah.
She loves MasterChef. She loves the program where Amanda Holden and Alan Carr do up an Italian house.
I love that program. So good.
She loves murder mysteries.
Well, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. We'll go on to this later, actually, on TV.
Like, so she'll usually have that on for, say, 20 minutes before school.
Mm-hmm.
But usually she'll be eating her breakfast. She'll be having her hair done. She'll be doing some colouring in. Like, she's not actively watching the telly.
Yeah.
She has a tablet. Honestly, I don't think she uses it that much. I'd say maybe 2 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
On average. Some weeks she doesn't use it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Other weeks she uses it a bit more.
Well, I found this, actually. Ramona has a tablet that doesn't have YouTube on it, so she doesn't watch stuff on it. She can only play educational games on it, but like, she'll maybe use it every day in a week and then won't use it for 3 months.
Yeah,
it's like just a thing that she forgets about.
Yeah,
but there are some kids who
are glued to their tablet
and it's really important to them, right? I don't know what is it different type of tablets? Is it because you can get tablets that have YouTube on and stuff like that, or what?
Well, that's another thing. I don't know if you've got this down on your list to watch, but there are on your list of things to talk about. But there are things that I don't let Darcy have, and YouTube is one of them.
Yeah, we don't do YouTube.
The only time that Darcy is allowed to watch YouTube is if we are watching music videos together.
Yeah, same. We use YouTube for music videos on the telly and kids yoga on the telly.
Yeah.
And we're there with her. So this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, actually. So we'll talk about YouTube now. I don't know if this makes me like a very... conspiracy theory middle class mother, but you know that thing that went round about that scary lady's face that was popping up in Peppa Pig episodes?
Yeah,
that's fully done me in, and I'm like, you're never watching YouTube on your own.
See, it wasn't
scared
even
scared the shit out of me.
It wasn't that did it for me. It was she started watching YouTube, and it was like she started watching music videos, and the suggested, like, next video, she did it loads of times. I was distracted doing something, might have been work or something. I was just distracted. And I walked in and she was, like, watching these videos of, like, kids being taken to a shop and given their parents' card and going around and, like, putting everything in the basket.
Was it a music video?
No. It was a YouTube video where, like, a family vloggers had given their kids, like, an unlimited budget in the toy shop kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
And it's just, like, this, mega consumerism.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's where the algorithm led her to half an hour.
From a music video.
And I saw, like, whenever she has been watching YouTube, because she has, like, watched it here and there, I notice a difference in her behaviour.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And I think you can tell the kids that have access to YouTube at home because they will come out with things, and kids that are allowed to go on TikTok as well, they will come out with things with phrases.
Like terms, or say things like Americanisms as well.
Yeah.
And you're like, where do you get that from?
And it's just not like... I don't like her behaviour when she has been watching YouTube. So it's just a blanket ban now.
Yeah, definitely. The only YouTube, like, they don't know how to do YouTube. Because we only use YouTube. So in our house, we've got the big TV. We don't watch the TV in the morning at all. We put Radio 6 on because I'm sorry, but until I've had two cups of coffee, you'll do exactly what I say. Okay? So we're listening to sick music. So we've never, ever had TV in the morning. And also, there's not enough fucking time. It's wild. Yeah. It's just manic. So like you say, it's background noise, isn't it?
Mm.
We've got the radio on, you've got the TV on. It's background. It's just something to keep us going, essentially.
Yeah.
Out of the house. And then we've got the big TV. Ramona's got her tablet, which doesn't have YouTube on it. It's just for games. And then I've got my phone, which she doesn't... like, one of the things...
I don't let Darcy use my phone anymore.
We've never let our kids use our phones ever. Ever. And it's not like oh, we don't let it. We just haven't.
Yeah.
It's not like a conscious choice. We just don't. And I've got an iPad, but I use iPad for work and it's my artwork, right? Because it's my Apple Pencil. And my... So she doesn't use my iPad unless it's for my Procreate app, which is what I draw on. So we don't, even the iPad isn't used for screen time. So the only screen they really have is the TV.
Yeah.
So that's YouTube. They can't do it because it's through the remote control.
Yeah.
And they can't work that out.
But Darcy, I used to give her my phone for, like, you know, situations where you need them to be quiet for a bit while you're out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
You know, when she's too young to look for something on YouTube, so I could on, like...
Oh, fine.
Whatever on YouTube and just hand it to her.
Yeah.
And she's not actually able to find...
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
That's fine.
As soon as she was able to figure out YouTube and, like, swipe through the different apps, that's when I was like, no.
Nah.
No more.
No, thank you. No.
And what I've noticed, I think it is, like, a... kind of like a degrees of separation thing. There is a separation between you and the television, right?
Yes.
Between them and the television.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There is less of that separation when it's a tablet,
mm-hmm.
and even less of that separation when it's a phone.
So you know when you were saying, like, our kids are just not at all still when the TV's on?
Yeah.
If they've got a phone in front of them, they're as still as anything. So yeah. Actually, I do think maybe these guidelines and this study, they've maybe not delved into the type of screens properly enough.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're watching the telly, you can go in the kitchen and ask for a snack. You can go... Like, if the telly's on, it's like, they'll go in the garden and go run around on their bikes for a bit, and I'll be there going, so we're not... Is this not on anymore, then? And one of them going, shall I stop this? Turn the telly off. Bloody lights on everywhere. One of them
ones. Blackpool illuminations in
here. Yeah, because they're able to be active whilst also sometimes... engrossing themselves in TV. Although even then, I still notice, like, the certain elements of TV that definitely make Ramona more angry,
mm-hmm.
worse moods, there's like attention problems. So I would say they always watch the TV when they get home from school. Because it's like literally, they need,
it's even like if it's not actual, just decompression time.
Yeah.
Darcy watches less TV when she comes home from school. I'd say at least 3 days a week the telly doesn't go on until she's gone to bed.
I've been trying to cut down on it and let them watch it for less time because it's starting to worry me, because it's like, what, half three till five they're watching the telly, because it's like between them getting home from school and making dinner. But then you find, like, there's certain days where they're like, oh, please let me watch one more, and I'm like, your dinner is literally on the table. Mm-hmm. And it's those sort of interactions where I'm like, guys, this is getting too much.
Yeah.
We've got to learn to do other stuff. And especially in the summer, it's like, go outside.
Yeah.
Go and play in the garden. Do something else. And trying to kind of, like, break the cycle a little bit.
Yeah, I think I did a full screen-free... I've done a few over the last few months of just a week with no screens whatsoever. So telly on. Yeah. No tablet.
Yeah.
And I try actually not to do... I have used that as like a punishment before.
Yeah.
But actually I've tried to not do it as a punishment, but do it as something that me and her are doing together.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If I'm telling her
that
she's not allowed to watch the screen, I will put my phone upstairs in my bedroom.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because I know that I'm so guilty
for
having a conversation with her whilst... replying to a text on my phone, or
like... You're having a look at Instagram and you're like, yeah, that's so true, Sinead, I need to do that. I definitely need to
and
do
I
that.
And I found that I cannot even put... So this is like screen time for me, but I definitely have my issues with screen time because I can't put my phone on the kitchen counter and ignore it.
No,
it has
not.
To be two floors above me where I can't see it.
Yeah.
otherwise it will be in my hand. And I think they do pick up on the fact that our phones are essentially just extensions of our hands.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. This brings me nicely on to a very good question. So I do want to talk about, I do want to mention like grown-up TV that we watch with our kids, because mm-hmm. we've got some funny ones, like you mentioned Midsommar Murders, just because I think they're good shout-outs, right? But I'm going to ask you this now, we're talking about phones. At what age do you think, you obviously can change your mind when it happens, but at what age do you think you would let Darcy have a phone?
I think I will let her have a phone that is capable of texts and calls, so like a not a smartphone, mm-hmm. drug dealer Nokia.
Burner, yeah, yeah.
Burner phone.
Yeah.
When she's in year six. When she's able to walk to and from school herself.
9, 10 Yeah.
I don't want her to have a smartphone till she's 15.
Whoa, 15!
I know that it's not going to happen.
No.
But I don't want her...
It's a lovely idea, but yeah.
I don't want her to have that pressure. I think, especially for girls, there's a lot of pressure to do with the way you look.
Oh, God, of course.
And the way that you act online. Yeah, yeah. There's so much opportunity for bullying to happen.
Absolutely fucking terrifies me, Sinead.
I don't want her to have a smartphone until she's 15.
No, I don't.
And I didn't have a smartphone until I was 18. Because they didn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I think I was maybe 18 or 19, but that's because they weren't around then. So that's different, because you can't be mad at your parents for not letting you have one if they don't exist. So most children in the world have a smartphone between the age of 9 and 11. And at age 11, the approximation, they obviously can't do it definitively,
mm-hmm.
but the approximation is that 91% of children have a smartphone by the age of 11, which is terrifying, isn't it? Maybe it's just phone. But still, that's really scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know, you're so right. Like, I do think so. Ramona's primary school goes up to year six, right? Yeah. But it's after that, it's like she should be able to have a phone to communicate with if she's walking to school on her own. That seems fair.
Or, like, texting her friends or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, even if she did have a smartphone, I wouldn't want her to have social media.
No.
I think social media is so detrimental. Like, we didn't have social media till we were, like, later on in our teens. Like, I didn't have Facebook till I was, like, probably 16.
I think maybe later for me. Maybe 17, 18. So, and it's... We're riddled with anxieties.
Yeah, and like, I don't want her to be, like, entering that space at, like, 12 or 13 years old.
Which is the worst possible time for that to be happening, and that's what's happening.
But then at the same time, I would also feel really uncomfortable with, like, aggressively policing her use of her phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really do feel like she should be allowed her independence with it. I don't feel great about, like, those tracking apps that you can use and like, but then at the same time, how do you stop them from going on social media?
I honestly don't know. It's really scary. It's really scary, and I really don't know the answers. I hope there'll be answers by the time our children are teenagers.
Yeah.
If anyone is listening that has two teenagers,
maybe burner phones will be cool.
Please tell us.
In 10 years' time.
Please tell us what to do. It's so scary. So I want to ask you very quickly about computer games.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dave is, you know, used to love computer games when he was a kid.
Gamer.
So we've currently got a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, do you?
Because Dave likes games, right? So mm-hmm. we've got some games on it that Dave likes playing, but they're age appropriate.
Yeah.
So the sort of games that we play will be like indie games, arty games. So we've got this one called Gris, which is just like, it's basically artwork.
Mm.
It's like Japanese, it's like anime meets watercolour meets abstract art meets independent film festival. So they're the sort of computer games we play with our children because we're actually very cool. And they do like some fun ones as well, but we don't play the big ones like, you know, Mario and stuff because we simply can't afford them.
Yeah.
And we don't play it very often. It's maybe like once a month we'll do games. But I just wondered if you did computer games when you were a kid.
We were never super into computer games. We had a P- PS2 when I was a kid, and I remember playing the Harry Potter Chamber of Secrets game.
Of course.
Which I loved.
Of course you did.
And we had a Pop Idol game that came with a dance mat. So you had to, like, do the dance mat.
Yeah.
And if you, like, did the dance mat right, it would make your Pop Idol person sing the right notes.
Oh.
And if you missed, like, they would be like,
That's fun. I think I would have liked that.
And you got to, like, pick your pop idol and, like, pick their outfit and their hair and all of that. I loved that game.
That sounds great.
And then another game that I remember playing was Lord of the Rings Return of the King.
Of course.
On PS2.
Very on brand.
Which I loved. And then I had a Game Boy Advance, you know, the flippy one.
Yes, yeah.
I had one of those, and I used to love playing Pokemon.
Okay, nice.
Pokemon was like my summer holidays. Mm. I would start a new Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And I'd play Pokemon in the summer holidays.
Makes me feel very old, Sinead, because when I was a child, I had a Sega Mega Drive, and I played the heck out of Sonic, Sonic 2, Golden Axe, and my personal favourite, Streets of Rage. Now, have you ever played Streets of Rage?
No, I haven't.
I'm gonna make sure that some of the social media content we do around this episode is a clip of Streets of Rage.
You know what? Did you still love playing as well? Tekken.
Oh yeah, Tekken. So okay, that's right. Yeah. So I played Tekken a little bit when I was older. So Tekken has quite similar vibes to Streets of Rage in that it is like it's incredibly misogynistic, but at the time you're like, I want to be the hot girl.
Yeah.
I want to be the hot girl with the tits.
We also had WWF, WWE, like a wrestling game.
Yeah.
And it was like SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah.
And you could pick, if you were the girl, you could pick the size of your boobs.
Wow. Wowzers, that's wild.
So obviously I was always like,
massive.
I want the massive tits, please.
Massive tits, win all the matches. So Streets of Rage didn't have that option because it was like a, what do you call it, like a directional game? It was not 3D because it's that old. But the women in it, so it's, Streets of Rage is like three undercover cops, but they all wear leather and they go out and just like beat people up. But you're just beating up baddies. Boom, yeah. boom, beating up baddies all the way. Each chat, like each level is like a different street. Different Streets of Rage. But on every single level, they had all these different kind of baddies, but one of them was always a woman wearing, like, a latex outfit with thigh-high boots, like a police cap, but all red, and they had a whip. So they'd just whip you, and you had to beat them up before they whipped you. And when you killed them, the sound... This is what I want to show you on social media, is the sound of these women being killed, because they're like... really funny. I loved it. I fucking loved Streets of Rage. I loved the music. It was really cool. And I was playing this at like age 7.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was brilliant and I got really good at it. But this is the thing I wanted to say about computer games, because I was asking Dave this the other day about, like, do you think, I said to him, do you think if you were a child in this era, you'd be one of those kids that was playing computer games 24/7?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't think so, because I wasn't that good at computer games. I was like, I thought you were on computer games all the fucking time. And he's like, no, not really, not compared to my friends. I was like, wow, I totally underestimated how little you play computer games. I thought he was a proper computer nerd, but apparently not. But I was just thinking then, like, we both played computer games where it's like, you choose the size of the woman's tits, you're beating the shit out of people. It's, like, incredibly problematic from a modern-day point of view.
I used to love Simpsons Hit and Run as well, where, like, part of it was that you ran people over all the time.
Well, yeah, Grand Theft Auto, all of that shit, right?
Yeah.
And I just think, like, that has not affected... That's not affected me...
As an adult.
It's not affected me negatively. I don't...
At all.
There is absolutely no way that anything from those computer games has seeped into my blood and made me, like, want to be one of those... Do you know what I mean? You know, this idea that computer games are bad for you because they make you want to go out and kill people. I'm sorry.
I think it depends, though, because I think both of us were very, like, very casual...
Yes. Well, this is it. This
casual
is the thing.
Casual and varied computer game users.
So what's the... How do we stop... How do we make sure our children are casual users? Is it just, like, simply just... I think what it is, it's, like, it's just not... being invested in one thing. It's just liking lots of things, isn't it? Yeah. That's what it is.
As well, I think it's like, it depends on the child as well, because not every child that plays like a violent shooting computer game is going to...
Yeah.
I think there are some kids where that will really tickle a part of their brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when you've got the problem that they want to spend 24 hours a day
shooting,
playing
people.
Card or whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I think that's an issue you've got to...
Nip in the bud straight away. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you pick up on those warning signs, like I picked up on the warning signs that Darcy wasn't a very nice child when she'd been watching YouTube.
You were able to deal with it.
So I've nipped YouTube in the bud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that's why I'm not so worried about it, because I'm safe in the knowledge that, I think my kids are too similar to me.
Yeah.
And they're just not going to be invested enough in that in one thing. They'll do it.
Like, don't get me wrong. I had days, like in my summer holidays as a kid, where I would sit.
All day.
For like 8 hours and play Pokemon on my Game Boy.
Yeah. I did Streets of Rage. I completed the whole thing.
But
my dad helps me.
Yeah. I'd be running around outside.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think if that's what our kids are like, we'll be absolutely fine. It's like you say, it's like when it becomes a pattern and it's problematic, I think you just sort it out straight away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about computers. So can we very quickly just mention, because I don't know if people talk about this enough, because we talk about screen time, we talk about TV, we talk about kids' TV
mm-hmm.
and how much screen time they're getting. My personal opinion, I think, especially as someone that studied film and made films, right, I think it's really important to allow children to watch stuff that's, like, not kids' TV.
Yeah.
I don't see adult TV, I don't mean porn, I mean, like, TV for adults. I don't see that particularly as screen time for kids. I see that as its own entity. Do you know what I mean? Like David Attenborough?
Yeah.
And I just,
that's
I think...
More like That's more like art and culture.
Yeah. So I think, like, I guess what I wanted to explore a little bit are the sort of the TV shows that we let our kids watch that are for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like where we stand with that. Because like any kind of nature program, space program, stuff like that, if they're like, I want to watch, we'd never put the TV on after dinner unless it's an adult TV program.
Yeah.
So it's like they watch all their TV before dinner. And then if they're like, can we do kids yoga? Of course you can. Can we watch music videos? Of course you can. Because we're in control of it and we're choosing things as a family that we're watching together and we're not just watching them. If it's mm-hmm. yoga, they're doing yoga. If it's music, it'll probably be idols and they're probably jumping up and down. Or it's like, it's music history. It's essentially like Jack Black doing School of Rock.
Yeah.
Or if it's David Attenborough, space, it's educational.
Yeah.
What else have we got? So Darcy likes Midsummer Murders. I wondered if you could give me a bit of background as to why she likes Midsummer Murders.
So it's not necessarily Midsummer Murders that she likes. She likes a murder mystery programme. She really likes that format.
What is it about that that you think she likes?
I think it's comforting to her because it's like repetitive and it's like, the ones that we let her watch aren't explicitly violent.
Yeah, it's just...
like, most of the murders happen off-screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, Darcy for ages had this issue where she wouldn't watch anything if she thought it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, that could be anything from the extremely mild threat...
Yeah, 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 yeah.
...to, like, a horror movie. Like, anything. If it was, like, a little bit... dark.
Yeah, Ramona couldn't watch Moana for ages because she was scared of the fire monster.
She'd be like, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary, I won't watch it, it's scary. Yeah. And then one afternoon, I think I was out, and my mum often puts on reruns of like Miss Marple or Midsummer Murders or like an Agatha Christie thing.
Yeah.
Because she likes watching that. And Darcy was like wandering around and she ended up going into my mum and watching a whole Miss Marple with her. And it's not often. And another reason why I don't really worry about Darcy's screen time really is because whilst the telly is on, she's not often like engaging with it.
She
actually sat down and she engaged with the program and she was like trying to guess who'd done it and trying to guess like what would happen next.
Yeah.
and it's like, and it was like working her little brain.
Yeah, that's, there's no dopamine hits there. There's no flashing images. It's like, it's a slow burner. It's for adults, so it's boring, right? I mean, I find Midsommar Murders boring. And I'm 36. So it's like, that's not what this study is talking about at all, is it?
Yeah. But she likes it because she likes that, like, it follows the same pattern with every episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if she's watching something like Miss Marple, which has been on for years,
yeah,
and there's hundreds of episodes,
yeah,
she likes safe. That it's safe, it's something easy. New, but it's in a familiar space. It's in a familiar environment. She knows. Mm-hmm. She knows some of the characters.
Yeah.
Like, she knows the basic layout of how the episode will run.
Yeah.
And I think she likes that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So one of the things I wanted to bring up, so I've spoke about David Attenborough, I spoke about like YouTube music videos. Ramona has very recently got very into Guy Martin. You've not seen Guy Martin, have you?
No.
So he's the northern guy that does like engineering.
Uh-huh.
And the motorcycling. So Guy, I think personally, I think Darcy could be a good contender for Guy Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's very similar themes into the reasons why Ramona likes Guy Martin and Darcy likes Midsommar Murders. So Guy Martin is a really funny northern bloke with big sideboards, and he's like a world champion motorcyclist for like Isle of Wight. He does fast, he likes doing fast stuff, right? But he's a lorry mechanic and engineer. And so all of his like documentaries are about like, a lot of them are about restoring things from World War II.
Okay.
So he'll like restore like a Spitfire and he'll get a team of engineers building it. And so by doing that, you then hear the story of how this particular Spitfire got, you know, it's all the kind of machinery that was used in the war, why it was used, how it came about and all of that. So you've got like, you've got the history element, you've got all the old kind of footage of the war, black and white footage, interviews with old people talking about the war, veterans, and he's really charismatic because he's northern and he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
She loves him, and he's really funny. And I think it's the same thing. It's like, it's boring at the same time as being really interesting.
Yeah,
I think it's the same
reason.
But
it's not stimulating,
but it's enough for her to sit and watch it and ask us questions about the war.
I think the perfect way to describe that is it is engaging, but it's not stimulating.
Absolutely.
And I think that is like the perfect balance to strike.
Yeah.
Like Darcy recently has become obsessed with Race Across the World.
It's like strategy.
Yeah. And strategy. What she will do is she'll sit there and she will like evaluate the different routes that people have taken. Mm. She'll be like, well, that was the most sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
If I was doing this,
that's
the way I would go.
Yeah.
And then she's learning about like all different countries and like the different currencies they use and where they are in relation to other places on the map.
Well, Ramona really likes Simon Reeve. Same reason, isn't it? It's like, it's a journey, it's got a structure, it's engaging, seeing lots of... I think they thrive off watching programmes that we like as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm not interested in her kids' programmes.
Like, I will never sit in the room with Darcy and watch a kids' programme.
No, of course.
If she wants to watch telly with us,
mm-hmm.
it has to be something we will watch.
Yeah, and then we'll actually talk about it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and my mum and dad used to let me stay up late on like I distinctly remember this. I used to love watching Have I Got News For You? And I didn't understand any of it. But what I really liked about it was watching it and hearing my mum and dad laughing at the jokes.
Yeah.
And understanding that it was a smart thing to watch.
Yeah.
And I loved that. And even though I didn't pick up on any of it, didn't really understand the jokes, maybe a little bit, but then hearing them laugh with the audience laughing and knowing that it was about like the world and politics and be like, oh.
Tell you what my grown-up programme to watch was when I was a kid that I loved.
What?
The Bill.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's so... yours was Bill, mine was Heartbeat. Same, but different. I loved Heartbeat. Me and my dad used to watch that every Sunday.
I used to love Heartbeat as well.
Great. Oh.
How do you feel about tellies in bedrooms?
I haven't thought about it, to be honest with you. Simply because I don't think I got one till I was much older. I don't think I got a TV till I was at least 10.
I got a TV in my bedroom the year that we moved into this house. So I was just 8.
And do you think that was a good age for you to be allowed one?
It meant that I got to watch the bill every single time it was on, even when I wasn't.
So you were like, jackpot.
So I would just like turn it down really, 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 really quiet and watch the bill.
I'd
sit on my bedroom floor and watch the bill. But now I don't have a telly in my bedroom and Darcy doesn't have a telly in her bedroom. And I don't believe in telly in bedroom.
We only got a telly in our bedroom because I wanted to be able to watch TV after the girls had gone to bed. And I simply, like, I'm always too tired to even to be sat upright. So we've never, I'm not really Italian bed sort of person, even though I am. The only thing I can remember really about a TV in my room as a child was that I could put the telly on in the morning and keep myself busy until my parents were awake. So I really liked that very early, I'm up earlier than everyone else and I just sit in bed and put the telly on and watch kids' TV. Mm. And that was great. But I think for the girls, I'll probably be quite strict about that and not let them have one for ages. Just because I don't think it's necessary.
I don't think she needs a telly in her bedroom.
No, I don't think so.
She has a whole room basically to herself downstairs with a massive fucking telly in it.
Also, we get up so fucking early anyway. There's no possible time for me to be watching telly in the morning.
Yeah, like when she's a teenager. Yes,
of course. Yeah,
she can
of course.
Telly in her bedroom.
Also, I guess because we have got a television in our room. There doesn't need to be another television upstairs.
Mm.
If they do, if it becomes a thing where they want to watch TV, if it becomes a morning thing, then that could be something where they get into bed with us and we put the telly on. That might be fine.
Yeah.
But not for many years, I don't think. It's not necessary, is it?
No, not really. One thing that I want to raise before we move on to loves and loads.
Oh, yes. Let's do loves and loads, yes.
Is,
go on.
One thing I've noticed recently is how drawn to screens kids are. Like, Darcy is an absolute terror for, like, looking over people's shoulders when they're on their phone or on an iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
And it drives me insane.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's rude. You don't do that. That's invading people's space.
I've not noticed that. I'll have to see. I know they do it to me, but I'll have to see.
But
I'll
she does it
watch.
Specifically to me. But then I've noticed that she'll do it to my mum or she'll try and do it to other people.
Yeah.
And she thinks that everything, like, you know, if I try and show my mum something on my phone, I'm like, oh, look at this funny video, blah, blah, blah. I show it to my mum.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me see. And it's like, it's so hard to get them to understand that not everything is about them and for them.
This is actually a tweet about a politician. You will not understand a single word. Come on now. Yeah, 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 definitely. I have to say though, I think because my Instagram algorithms are very much based on my likes, which is kind of like illustration, tattoos, people in bands, you know, a lot of it is kind of a nice stuff, people wearing cool clothes, really good, like nice stuff. So when Ramona comes and sits on me and is like staring at my phone while I'm like, if I'm looking at Instagram, actually, I don't mind her doing that. I've done it before, I've been looking, and then I've not even realised that she's sort of staring at it. She'd be like, oh, let me carry on watching that one. And it'll be a video of someone, like, doing a paint. There was one the other day. You know when I made those puzzle purses, like that origami thing?
Mm-hmm.
A video came up, and someone had made one, but it was, like, love heart-shaped. So you opened it out, and it was, like, loads of love hearts, and she'd illustrated it, and I was watching it. And then I finished watching it, and then I started scrolling, and Ramona went, can I watch it again? And she was, like, right there. And I'd barely know. I was like, oh! And she was like, that was amazing. And I was like, yeah, let's watch it again. So it's like stuff like that where I go, there's definitely positives to kind of screen time and that kind of, that side of social media. Like, she's seen a piece of illustration that's been handmade and put together beautifully. She's noticed it and she's asked to rewatch it because she wants to see how it's been made. That's fantastic. I love that. Mm. But also, yeah, you're right. Like, stop staring at my fucking phone when I'm trying to text people.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm swearing. So bad. Anyway, we need to go to bed, mate.
Yeah, we do. I'm like about to fall asleep.
What's your love of the week? Let's do it very quickly.
My love of the week is actually this week chocolate.
Oh, that's a good shout. Favourite chocolate bar that you've been having this week?
At the minute, I've been eating, it's from Aldi and it's their Choco brand. And it's milk and white. Chocolate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
it's
good
really,
stuff. That's
really,
really
good.
Good stuff. Yeah, I like the chocolate stuff.
And white Buenos.
Yeah, nice. My love of the week is Dave's herb garden.
Is Dave growing Dave's weed?
Herb garden. No. I wanted some herbs to grow in the garden, normal herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave said, well, we've got an old pallet. Do you want me to see if I can make a herb garden out of it?
Yeah.
So he spent one afternoon just like breaking apart the pallet and then made it into a beautiful box.
I bet he had a great time doing
and
it.
And it looks
well.
So good. I'll put it up on stories, but he's made this beautiful box that we put the herbs in. Well done, Dave. Really impressed. Gorgeous. What's your loathe of the week?
Well done, Dave. My loathe of the week is the fact that when you do get extra leg room on Ryanair, they reduce the width of the seat.
Oh, really? So the length, you get more leg room but less width?
Yeah, and for a woman blessed with an arse the size of Jupiter, that's a problem.
That seems madness. How is that possible?
Well, it's because, you know, usually you've got the like armrest that can go up and down, which is great when you've got a kid because you can put it up and then you've got like a bit more room.
Yeah.
It's just like it's a wall between your seat and the next seat.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. So you're kind of more hemmed in.
Okay.
God, and when you've got
insane.
Childbearing hips.
That's and not fair,
a massive it? Arse. It's discrimination against cuties with a booty.
Come on, Ryanair.
Ryanair
discriminate against just most humans, to be honest with you. So, but
we can fly to a different country for £15.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I suppose so. All right, fine.
I'll put up with some discrimination for that.
Put up with it. My loathe of the week is BBC iPlayer. Just be the BBC in general. They're just not making any good programmes.
No. About BBC is they're like, they're either putting out loads and loads of
good
really
shit,
good shit,
or nothing.
Or there's nothing.
And at the minute, and for the last few months, it's been nothing. It's just been tennis, football, Race Against the World? No, Race Against, what's it called?
Race Across the World.
Race Across the World. And EastEnders. That's it.
Yeah, there's not really been much on.
I need some juicy dramas to watch.
Yes,
please.
I do. Yes, I need a crime drama, please.
A nice crime, like Vigil, when they did the last series of Vigil. Another
That's
one
great.
Of them would be good.
You know what I need? I need a travel documentary hosted by two quirky, silly young MILFs.
Yeah, that would be good. If the
BBC
really could
good.
Commission that, that'd be great.
It would be really, really great. Okay. And if they could pay the said hosts lots and lots of money to do it.
Yeah, so that they can secure, you know, they'll do loads more. If they get paid really well, they'll do loads all the time, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
So this episode has been sponsored by the BBC.
Thank you, BBC. Goodbye. Let's go to bed.
Bye.
Bye.